Randy, Farmers National Company released their latest report kind of evaluating 2019 and the land market, as well as looking forward to 2020, which we have already entered. And so if you could help summarize that report for me, where do we start? What sticks out?
Well, I think what really sticks out, and it has for the last several years, that land values, for especially for good crop land, have pretty much plateaued. Of course, they softened off of the peaks in 2013 or so, but since then they have kind of stayed fairly steady, give or take a little up and down each year in different states, and I think that's a recognition of that lower supply of land for sale in most markets, having adequate buyer interest, low interest rates, the extra MFP payment cash that came into producers' hands. So a lot of things went into kind of keeping that stable, despite what everybody looks at with net farm income and the more pessimistic look on the ag economy during those years. So that was kind of the underlying base, what we saw again in 2019, despite thinking there'd be some more financial problems. But overall, agriculture and the big picture is still adequately financed, even though working capital is decreasing tremendously and debt is increasing. But we got through the year and through all the harvest and planting problems, which were historical, and we're off to 2020.
So for that land that was going through the market in 2019 and comparing it to previous years, what sort of land was being sold? What was the quality of it like, as well as what were some of the factors for that land going through the market?
Most of the sellers were either estates, trust, recent inheritors, or in some cases they're families with multiple owners of that land who have owned it for a number of years and just deciding that now's the time to sell it, to divide up that asset. And not many of the sales we handle are, from financially stressed producers. A lot of those happen quietly, behind the scenes, not in the open market. But we've only seen a few of those ourselves, so in most of our areas, and that would vary by region. So kind of traditional sellers, the buyers are still mainly farmers in that local area who are adding to their landholding operation, expanding it. As we know, farms only come up for sale once every three or four generations in a lot of cases. So the decision's kind of forced on that local farmer sometimes that, I need to buy it now or I won't get a chance, and it's across the fence. A few investors, individuals, are coming into the market, I think. We see picking up a little interest, and a few institutional buyers, and that, doesn't affect North Dakota like it does the states that allow corporate ownership. But so there's some increased interest from the investors of both types, but they're still cautious in their buying, just as producers are.
And so, Randy, as you mentioned earlier, when we were talking about the summary of the report, the late planting and just tough conditions that were endured throughout the Midwest, but specifically in the Northern Plains here, North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota. You guys release some regional land value reports as well. And so were some of those conditions reflected in the land values or just sales of land this year up here in the Northern Plains?
Yeah, I can fully understand some that the producers have gone through this past year in that region, as having farmed myself for many years and gone through those wet seasons and dry seasons. But I think this one was really historical, and the way it affected that harvest time, that time to be paid for all that work and investment, and the root crops that didn't get harvested, and that effect with insurance and obligations are still being worked out from what I understand, and you know that better than I do. But I think up until now, that effect has just, the land market has been slower, even less sold. in some cases just because of that uncertainty, whether it's a farmer selling, which is extremely rare, for a farmer buying, or like I said, that estate or family selling, they might have decided to hang on to it, you know, for a while. So I think things were extremely slow in that summer time frame and going into the fall. I think the real test of the effect on all of the problems and the hardships faced last this past year will show up this year with financial situation of some producers that will get stretched a little too far because of it, or rents will be negotiated differently just because, you know, it's been a tough year for the producers. And then what that effect will be on land values, it'll depend on what comes up for sale and who might have the available cash in the area. But it's going to put more caution in the market for sure.
And so my final question for you, Randy, is will 2020 be the year that land market breaks out of its plateau?
That is the question of the day. We've been expecting that, some further softening in land values for a number of years now, and it hadn't happened, as we talked about. This year, some of the underlying supporting factors are still there at this time. The land market still is slower. There's not as much for sale, and it's kind of only what needs to be sold. Interest rates have actually declined from what we thought they would be, so that does support land values. There's a little optimism or potential for it on the trade side and maybe strengthening commodity prices, but that's still an uncertainty. We haven't seen that yet, so you can't count it at this point to be a benefit, but we're hoping it is. That's going to be a longer-term thing. Impact anyway to increase those markets again. World demand for our commodities is still, you know, in question a little bit, I think, because of world economies and geopolitical things going on in the world. So still a lot of uncertainty. It's going to depend a lot on how much land comes up for sale, and right now that's slower. So I think we're going to kind of hang in there again on that plateau more or less, except for some of the regional areas that are more stressed. You know, we're definitely watching the Northern Plains. We're watching some areas that didn't get as good a yield as they even thought due to this type of year. And then, of course, you've got the micro areas like the Missouri River Valley that had extreme flooding, and there's still water standing on farms. So that changes dynamics some there.